Hey, welcome to Sex, Drugs, and Spirituality with Sydney DeLorean. That's me. I've got my raspy voice on because I live in a heavily polluted city, and maybe one day I will make it out so I don't sound like this 4 months of the year when we have our high pollution advisories. And it gets tiring telling people that I'm not sick. And then they're like, are you sure you sound sick? Is it allergies? I'm like, it's not allergies. I wish it was allergies because you could take antihistamines. But it's just, I have ozone sensitivity since my 3 rounds with COVID. And now when it heats up here in Phoenix and our ozone levels rise, this is what I sound like. It's really endearing. And thank God I'm trying to make a career out of broadcasting. Anyways, I digress. We're doing an episode today about this drug called xylazine. The street name of it is Trank. If you live in a major city, you have probably seen people on Trank. It has a very specific look to it. When they call it a Trank walk, but it's like not even a walk. So here's some instances I've seen of people that I'm assuming are on Trank. I've seen people in what I learned in yoga today is called puppy pose, with their just face planted on the sidewalk and just kind of swaying back and forth. And they'll be there when you go into a business and they're still there doing it when you get out of the business. The people on Trank generally pick a pose and they just stick with it. And I recently had coffee with a friend and we sat on the patio, and the entire time we were having coffee, there was a gentleman on the sidewalk who is honestly mad respect to this guy. His entire face was tattooed. He looked like Jesus from the show True Blood when he went into brujo mode and got all like crazy looking. So his whole face is tattooed and he's standing, but he's bent over in a lean, and he's wearing his dog like a backpack. And the dog, this is the piece de resistance, the dog was wearing sunglasses. And from my observation, they held that pose for well over an hour because they were doing it when I met up with my friend and they were still in the exact same spot when we left. It's real bizarre. But Trank is taking over the states. What it is it's an animal tranquilizer. It was never approved for, or it was tested, but never approved for use in humans because it's too strong. So it's just an animal tranquilizer, which actually creates a little bit of a problem because it's not a controlled substance. Controlled substances are drugs that are approved for human use, but are under special regulations and guidelines for the prescription and distribution of them. But Trank, because it's not approved for use in humans, it's not a controlled substance, and it's readily available for veterinarians to use. And what's happening is, I am so sorry about my voice. The more I talk, the more I'm really annoyed with my existence, which I'm always annoyed with my existence, but the sounds coming out of my fucking mouth hole. I don't want to continually apologize, but I just want you to know that it's annoying for me as well and that we're in this together. So what's happening is, over the past several years, fentanyl has taken over heroin in terms of the street market. There was actually a heroin shortage during the pandemic. So it wasn't just toilet paper. It wasn't just whatever, insert something that had supply chain issues, tampons. It also affected drug production, and there was a shortage of heroin. and fentanyl kind of snuck in there. And what Donald Trump did was basically pressure China into getting rid of fentanyl, like making fentanyl illegal, because that's where all the fentanyl in the United States was coming from, legal and illegal. There was also supply chain issues with other drugs coming from China during that time. And it really makes you think that maybe we should manufacture our pharmaceuticals here in the United States so that we aren't reliant on global politics to continue having access. Like, my mom had received two different medications that then her pharmacy called her and said, "You never mind, bring them back. We have to recall them. They're tainted because different countries have different regulations on pharmaceuticals." Anyways, so fentanyl was coming from China, and Donald Trump was like, "Can you guys can you stop? Like, let's just." And so he bullied them into making fentanyl illegal, so China was no longer manufacturing it. But then, you know, fentanyl still exists. I watched a whole documentary about how basically now people just buy precursors or pre-precursors to fentanyl from China, and then they have to do a little DIY at home. You know, just like sometimes Coke overtakes Pepsi and Pepsi tries to overtake Coke, fentanyl overtook heroin, which was a pretty bad news since it is so much stronger and so much more dangerous. But there's a difference between the two drugs. Even though fentanyl is stronger than heroin, it is shorter acting. So what dealers have done is they've begun to mix xylazine with fentanyl. So users get that big high that fentanyl provides, and then xylazine gives it quote-unquote legs to give them a longer lasting effect from the drug. So this is how it's being found in most street uses. And it's kind of crazy. Like, in 2023, the White House released a national response plan in order, like, they declared it a national emergency, xylazine mixed with fentanyl, which I feel like I didn't hear about. I'm not reading the Wall Street Journal every morning, so maybe it was a big news thing, but most people I talk to have never heard of xylazine. They've never heard of Trank. They don't know what I'm talking about, which makes it really scary because people on the street level are seeking out fentanyl now. Obviously, we're worried about heroin that's laced with fentanyl, cocaine laced with fentanyl, but drug users are seeking out fentanyl because now that's the high that they want. They've become accustomed to. It sounds absolutely bananas to somebody who is not a street drug user. But users will actively seek out dealers who provided batches that led to overdose deaths because they'll be like, "Oh, I want that shit that killed that guy. Like, that means it's strong." And so now these dealers, in order to enhance their product, are mixing xylazine with the fentanyl. I'll read some stats. In samples from 8 syringe service programs in Maryland, tested between 2021 and 2022, xylazine was found in almost 80% of drug samples that contained opioids. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, xylazine was found in 31% of heroin and or fentanyl overdoses in 2019. And I believe in one of the documentaries I watched, they said that that number in Philadelphia is actually above 60% now. So the majority of opioid overdose deaths in Pennsylvania involve xylazine. And what makes this especially scary is that Narcan does not work on xylazine because it is not an opioid. So doctors are still working at ways to treat and manage and reverse overdoses of xylazine. We don't have a Narcan for it now or an equivalent product that could be life-saving in that instance. And so people don't know if their stuff has trank in it. And it's increasingly becoming a higher percentage of opioids on the street are mixed with xylazine. And some users seek it out. They want the trank. Other users are buying a product they don't know that's adulterated with it. And so that's super scary. The other thing that's super scary about xylazine is that it causes sores and necrosis, kind of similar to crocodile, which we talked about 1 million years ago on this podcast. So the users are developing huge abscesses, sores, they're losing limbs. First line workers in emergency departments have talked about the smell coming from these people, because they are literally like rotting. They have rotting flesh on them and the users can't stop using. They're addicted to it. Some of them are injecting the drug into the sores. They go down deep into tendons. Sometimes you'll see exposed bones. As I said, amputation, like it's a pretty horrific situation. And I think that speaks to just how horrific addiction is that someone can literally be in the process of losing an arm and they can't stop shooting up. But also if you're homeless and you're about to lose your arms and your legs, why not be high, right? Do you understand the reasoning in the addict brain is many of these people feel they're at a point of no return. So they just want to go out high. They also don't know how to manage withdrawals. We don't have treatment protocol for withdrawals. And the withdrawals from trank are pretty horrific. And the product is really cheap. I should have said that as well. Like this shit is cheap. And so the users are like, I could be in horrible, crippling, miserable, psychotic state, or I could spend $5 and make that horrible feeling go away. And so they do. There's a quote from this one doctor who runs a street clinic and said, some people say everything has fentanyl in it except for the fentanyl. So they're lacing cocaine or whatever with fentanyl, but then things that are resold as fentanyl are actually xylazine. Here we go. Xylazine is in, this is more recent. Xylazine is in 9 out of 10 samples of lab tested dope in Philadelphia. What we're seeing is the bags of fentanyl sometimes don't have fentanyl. It's just xylazine. It's most concentrated in Philadelphia. They really don't know why, like where it's coming from or why it's there. I think it's probably a natural progression from, there's an area in Philadelphia called the Heroin Triangle that was really ravaged by opioid addiction. And obviously as that moved into fentanyl and now xylazine, and it looks worse than scenes I've seen on Walking Dead. Xylazine withdrawal can cause intense anxiety and dysphoria. Medications used to treat opioid withdrawal don't work well for xylazine. It's making the public health crisis worse. People are avoiding the hospital because they feel like withdrawal can't be well managed. They go longer and the disease gets worse before they come in. So you have these people who the medical, first of all, like fucking Christ, who wants to go to the doctor in America? Because most of the time they tell you it's in your head or that you need to lose weight and then they charge you $5,000. So like who's really trying to go to the doctor, let alone someone who's homeless, has severe addiction issues, and the establishment doesn't really have a treatment protocol for you. And so this is becoming a growing issue, and it's scary. I mean, it's scary for the addicts. It's scary for the people who live in the community. I mean, I guess I feel safer when I see someone like tranked out on the street than someone who's methed out. Because someone who's on trank, they ain't really doing anything, to be honest with you. They're like in an absolute trance. One of the treatments they're trying to use to manage withdrawal, and like in the same way that we have methadone for heroin addiction, they're looking into using ketamine to help get people off of xylazine, because ketamine is approved for use in humans. And, you know, now they use it in depression treatment. And so they know how to safely administer it to people. And so that's some research that's going on, is ketamine to help get people off of trank. But it's, I think it just like, it really makes me sad, because I live in a major city, and there's tent cities, there's, you know, it's, we have an area called the zone that they like broke up and moved. I know people who work with those populations, and it's really sad to see that. And it's like, I don't know really how to manage dealing with things. I have a thin skin when it comes to external stimuli. So whereas other people might not be bothered by things or be able to put on their blinders, like I see it and it like hurts my heart, and there's nothing I can do to change it. And it's just becoming a bigger and bigger problem. My one friend who works at a mission that provides housing for, they have room for, I think, 600, like they have hundreds of beds at the shelter he works at. And he works with, you know, getting people signed up with social services, and he tracks them. And he said, within 80% of the people who come in within 2 weeks are back out on the streets. And it's because they don't want to be in a shelter, and they don't want to follow rules, and they don't want to rehabilitate. And his opinion was, or what his research led him to believe, is that the majority of people did not become homeless because of mental illness or drug addiction. They became homeless because of a lack of affordable housing. And once they were homeless, they fell into a cycle of drug abuse and mental illness. And at that point, they don't want to turn things around because they are so far out that they don't want to rehabilitate, and they don't want to follow rules, and they don't want to get clean. And so he has about 80% of people leaving the shelter system within 2 weeks and heading back out to tents, which is really, really sad. And I think about that all the time when people are like, it's not, it's mental illness, it's not. And I'm like, well, the cost of housing has literally tripled here, in 5 years. And so people are being thrust into situations that threaten their happiness, their sanity, and they're coping with it whatever way possible. I watched a documentary about homelessness in Phoenix, and it talked about, you know, the percentage of women on the streets who are sexually assaulted. And then it compounds the trauma of losing your house because you can't afford it. And now you've been sexually assaulted. You're homeless. It's 120 degrees. Like, what else? Wouldn't you be using drugs to get through the day if that was your reality? And so this situation in our cities is just becoming not what you would expect for this, like, bastion of freedom and this, you know, progressive, you know, Team America, World Police type place. And it's like, things are not good at home. And America, dude, America is like, I had a friend growing up whose dad was a deacon in the Mormon church and also a big real estate developer in the area. And so everyone knew him. Everyone looked up to this guy. But behind closed doors, like at home, he was a star in public, but inside the walls of his house, he was addicted to prescription pills, and he also molested his sons. But nobody knew, you know, and so he was out there, puffed up chest. I'm so great. And I feel like that's America. Like the country thinks it's what it maybe used to be or what it never was, but like things are not okay at home. Like things are not okay on the streets. And the only way you can think things are okay in this country is if you have enough money to live in a gated community in a suburb, and then you're just worried about somebody didn't pull their trash cans in on time or whatever. But if you are living in a city center, if you are a renter, if you're living in apartments, if you have to commute from your mansion in the burbs to the city center for work, you're gonna see some fucking shit that is not okay. And these people, like the people don't look at them as humans. Like the fucking brujo with the dog and sunglasses on his back, like people don't see him as a human. They see them as zombies. But like at a certain point, he was a human. I don't know. And it makes me sad because I don't want to get panhandled walking in and out of stores. And I don't want to have a homeless woman who's pregnant on meth try to get in my car when I'm picking up my prescriptions. Like, I don't fucking want that shit. I was at I had to use a gas station bathroom the other day, and there was a lady in there like giving herself a sink shower. And like, I was like, hey, you mind if I get in and use the sink? Like, I just need to wash my hands. And like, I wasn't really judging her for that. I mean, I've been couch surfing for 2 months as my housing has been delayed. And like, if I didn't have my boyfriend and I didn't have my mom and I didn't have my friends, like it would be a much more difficult experience. Like I have a car, but like literally my new home was supposed to be ready 9 weeks ago, and it's not. And so, you know, there's times where I'm like, doing a couple, I've got some like body wipes, I'm like teaching Pilates, wiping the pits and the clit, changing clothes in a bathroom and going to my other job. So I don't pass judgment, but it does make me sad for people that number one, they have to do that. Because that lady who's changing and stuff in the bathroom, like she didn't have a car even. What am I getting at with this? It's getting bad. It's getting bad out there. The homeless people coming into my job and asking for, like, I had a lady come in the other night and she had an empty gallon jug and she's like, is there somewhere I can fill this up with water? Like, I'm so embarrassed. I need a shower and I know what people think of me. And like, she was obviously had some screws loose, but like, and I was like, yeah, girl, here, let me fill it up with water here. Let's get you a cup of water. Like, best of luck to you. I wasn't going to let her linger. And you don't want to give too much because it's like cats, you know, if you give them milk, they're going to keep coming around or whatever. But she like looked like she was going to cry. And she was like, thank you so much for treating me like a person. Like, you don't know what it's like. People don't treat you like a person. And I was like, well, I'm working class and I carry around trays of kebabs at $10 million houses. So I kind of know what it's like to be looked down upon. But it bums me out because the people who are on the street now, and who are stuck in addiction, I would like to think that there's redemption for them, but I don't know that there are systems in place for that to happen. And that is incredibly sad. The state I live in just basically it repealed the like law we had that made it so you could get abortions. And since there's no Roe versus Wade anymore, we reverted back to a pre-Civil War law that basically, like, we weren't even a state during the Civil War. But now we have reverted to a law that was made in place when this was a territory before the Civil War that makes it illegal to get basically any abortion. Because the politicians care so much about human life. But if they cared about human life, instead of spending all this money in legal battles and to pass or repeal laws to, you know, revert back to this, why, if they care so much about human life, why aren't they doing something about the thousands of human lives that are on our streets living this way? We have our homeless population, I'd have to look it up. It's in the thousands, and we're going into summer, and it's like, it's not okay. My mom commented to me the other day, she goes to McDonald's every morning to get an iced coffee, because old people need something to do. And she said, there's a car there that she knows belongs to an employee, because it's there every day. But the most recent time that she went, there was a dog in the car. And she's like, and the weather was fine, like the windows were open, but like in a week or two, that's not going to be okay. And she's like, honest. And I go, well, the person whose car it is, they probably lost their housing. Like they probably lost their housing and they're living in their car. And now their dog doesn't have anywhere to go but their car. And my mom was like, yeah, I mean, if the weather was nice, it probably wouldn't be a problem. Like it's just like being in a pen at home. It's got the windows and they can walk it on their break, but it's going to be too hot outside soon. And I said, I think we're going to start seeing a lot of that, because people have been using credit cards to keep their head above water, and credit cards are getting maxed out, and it's recession time, baby. And obviously somebody who works at McDonald's making, you know, people are always like, they make $15 an hour now. And I'm like, do you think that you can afford $1,600 a month for housing when you make $15 an hour? Because you probably can't. And their job probably schedules them just under 30 hours a week so that they don't have to provide health care. So no, that when I don't have, my hands are holding a mic, so I can't do the math. But if you need to prove that you make three times the rent in order to get approved for an apartment and you make $15 an hour, you probably can't afford an apartment. And I told my mom that since she is a do-gooder, she should maybe consider offering doggy daycare for people in that situation, because you can't fix everybody's problem, but you could like make somebody's life easier. Like she literally watches my dog when I go to work because he has anxiety and doesn't want to be left alone. And so anyways, don't do trank. I don't know. Housing should be affordable. Street drugs scare the fuck out of me. Like, everyone should just grow mushrooms in their own home, I guess. I don't know. The other thing with trank was that the sores don't only happen when you are shooting up. So it's not like abscesses related to the injection site. The sores have been seen in users who smoke and snort it. So they don't really know the mechanism of action for the sores, but obviously it goes beyond injection site infections. Don't think you're smart because you're smoking it. Like, apparently you can still get sores and necrosis and lose limbs, and it's really, really scary stuff. And like, how do you turn that around? People are like, get a job. I'm like, well, like, that guy's not getting a job. Like, he doesn't have a house and he smells like a dead person. So I don't think a job is the way for him. Maybe if he gets, you know, sober and the sores heal and he has housing and access to like a shower and a laundromat, like maybe then he will be qualified. Like, are you hiring zombie rotting hand guy? Because you can't just say people need to get jobs. Are you hiring them? Do you want them in the cubicle next to you? I'm going to guess the answer is no. And that's it. So new drug on the street. Fentanyl doesn't contain fentanyl anymore. What was that quote? That was so good. Everything contains fentanyl but fentanyl. Fentanyl apparently is just trank. News organizations have dubbed xylazine the zombie drug. When you see those zombies out there, they're on trank, and it's real sad. And I don't know what the answer is, but people running like clinics, like street clinics where they give wound care and needle exchanges, they have said so far they haven't seen any effects of the White House's initiative that they put up in 2023. On the street level, we're not seeing any changes. And I know like things move slow. So hopefully there's research being done or whatever. But it seems like with drugs in America, like it's like whack-a-mole. Like we outlaw something, so then something else comes out, and then it's way worse. Unlike I think it was Sweden that decided to fight heroin with heroin by literally making prescription available by heroin available by prescription for addicts. And they saw a decline in overdose deaths, and obviously people were getting pure products, so they weren't dying from fentanyl overdoses or, rotting limbs because they had a prescription for heroin. And I don't think that that would ever fly here in the United States because there's too many people. United States thinks that everything is like a moral failing, and so we don't think on a community-wide basis, like, which is so crazy. Like humans are just like animals at the zoo. So it's like, I don't know. I feel like animal behaviorists, like you're like, oh, all the elephants are doing this weird thing. And it's like, they're like rubbing their butts against this post and it's like giving them bruises and sores. And then like, if it were humans, we'd be like, those people have moral failings. But when it's elephants, they're like, well, you know, maybe we need to change the type of fencing that we have, or maybe they're doing this out of anxiety, and then we change their environment to affect their behavior. But in America, like, we're just like, no, nothing is affected by external forces. It's all moral failings. We refuse to change anything about society. We will only make it worse. And if you react poorly to the sick world you live in, that's on you, boo. It's really fucked up. But I don't know. I was thinking about, now I'm ranting, why'd you listen this long? I was thinking about how, you know, in the 60s, it was all like, we're going to put acid in the water supply, open everyone's mind up, blah, blah, blah. And like now I'm like, we need to put Ozempic in the water supply. And I'll tell you why. Because obesity aside, they have been doing off-label use of Ozempic for ADHD, and the results have been really promising. Like people are like, I feel like a normal person. I managed my ADHD without the speedy effect. And so they've shown that Ozempic stops compulsive shopping. So it's not just compulsive eating. It's treating compulsive shopping, compulsive scrolling, all these sort of compulsive behaviors that come with ADHD because of a lack of dopamine have been shown to disappear in the presence of Ozempic. And it would totally, and not to mention also the obesity epidemic, and that's a problem, but if we put Ozempic in the water supply and all of a sudden people weren't addicted to their phones and they weren't addicted to online shopping and they weren't like, we would eradicate scoliosis. Like our economy would absolutely collapse because we're all just going to our stupid little jobs so we can buy ourselves stupid little treats to give ourselves a stupid little boost of dopamine. Because like everything around us is making us miserable. We have no dopamine and we're just fucking scrambling to get a little whisper, like, oh, well, maybe if I have the perfect living room for Instagram photos, like, I just need the right credenza. Or, you know what? I need this new organization cube to organize my other shit. And if we put a drug in the water supply that made that thought process impossible, our economy would absolutely collapse. And it would be good for the environment if America stopped. Just fucking stop it. Stop it with your buying things. It's like, oh, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. There's global warming. Well, you know, you could change your behavior. We could all change our behavior. And it's like, well, no, the economy is reliant on us being starved for we need the things to fill the holes in our souls. And if we fucking just drank tap water that had Ozempic in it and we no longer felt that drive and like all e-commerce collapsed, that really would be something, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it though? How about that? Anyways, have a happy hump day. And don't do drink.